You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw you a-marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, took days to count the dead. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. When Honest Abe heard the news about your fall, the folks thought he'd call a great victory ball. But he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. Yeah, you fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
Yeah, Johnny Reb, you fought all the way. No way I was about to even pretend to interrupt that wonderful song by Johnny Horton. And back when you could actually play such songs on the radio. Well, happy birthday, Stonewall. Today would be the anniversary, 199th anniversary of the birth of Thomas Jackson. He didn't take the name Jonathan until later because that was his father's name, but he wasn't actually born with it, but he wanted to have his father's name. He was born 199 years ago in Virginia, which is now West Virginia, where he was actually born. He was the great-grandson of two indentured servants who were brought to the shores of America from Ireland. And probably one of the most unusual characters if you get into really studying what he's about. But I wanted to pursue this not only to honor T.J. Jackson, but to bring into full view of how what is happening currently in this country reveals exactly how far we have sunk into the cesspool of cultural Marxism and absolute tyranny at the hands of a government. And number two, of course, was to honor Stonewall. And I think about several years ago, a movie came out and it was called Gods and Generals. Imagine that title, Gods and Generals. And it was primarily about Stonewall. And a lot of people don't know that there was to be a trilogy of those movies. The first one was Gettysburg. The second one was Gods and Generals, but after Gods and Generals, the trilogy was canceled because the people very quickly, the cultural Marxists of this country very quickly decided that, hey, we can't allow this kind of truth to be out there to the American public. we can't show Stonewall Jackson praying with a black man. We can't have that to happen because that goes too far outside of our narrative. Probably no movie in history took as much criticism as did Gods and Generals. And not to be redundant, but it shut down the entirety of the program. The third movie was never even begun. And that, in many ways, if you haven't, if you haven't watched Gods and Generals, please do so. Because it is one of the most historically accurate movies I have ever seen in my entire life. Historically accurate to the word in so many instances. And of course, the very greatest threat to cultural Marxism is the truth. They can't allow that to continue. They certainly can't. But watch Gods and Generals if you haven't had the opportunity. And remember that most everything you're watching is the truth. So, folks, happy birthday, Stonewall. I take a lot of pride in being an unapologetic and a totally unreconstructed Confederate rebel. You might have noticed that. Well, if you have, it should come of no surprise to you at all that two of my historical heroes are sons of the South. During the colonial era, I do not believe a finer man could be found than Patrick Henry. As we look at those today who wish to destroy the Constitution, even with all its frailties, most recently including the governor of Texas, perhaps the visions of Patrick Henry and how he predicted our government would evolve into tyranny becomes even more relevant. For those of you who didn't know, Patrick Henry predicted the Civil War. And he said that under the government of the Constitution, it would not last 100 years without a tremendous loss of life and honor. As a momentary aside, do not fall for any of those crazy convention of states or constitutional convention proposals that do not contain as their top two proposed amendments, number one, the elimination of the Federal Reserve and an enforcement mechanism that declares any member of this government at any level who violates the trust of the people to be immediately indicted and tried for treason with a no plea bargaining provision. Any such new convention that doesn't contain those proposals is a complete and total fraud. Well, let's get back to my favorite hero, who was born after the founding era. And that would be none other than the aforementioned Thomas Jonathan Jackson, born 199 years ago today in what is now Clarksburg, West Virginia. I once stood in Jackson's home in Lexington, Virginia, where he lived while working as a professor at the Virginia Military Institute. I have stood on the spot where he was shot returning to his own lines after dark by members of the 18th North Carolina. But Jackson being Jackson, he was leading a reconnaissance mission. After he led the Confederacy in a resounding defeat of Fighting Joe Hooker's Union Army at the Battle of Chancellorsville. I placed a rose on the large stone that was carried to the spot where he fell by Confederate soldiers so that that spot would never be forgotten. I have stood in the room of the house at Guinea Station, which contains the bed where he succumbed to pneumonia on May the 10th of 1863. I have even gone to Lexington, Virginia, and placed lemons on his grave. Stonewall had a habit, they say, of sucking on lemons, although that has been much contested. He loved fruit. He did eat lemons, but he preferred peaches. I have read every book available on his life and his military exploits. T.J. Jackson, like his immediate commander, Robert E. Lee, was a devoutly religious man. This stands in stark contrast to the two most prominent generals in the Union Army. Hiram Ulysses Grant was reported to have a serious drinking problem and owned slaves up until the enforcement of the 13th Amendment. So obviously he was not fighting to free the slaves. William Tecumseh Sherman had once been declared clinically insane. Only in the perverted Yankee mind or that of a big government sycophant could a criminal psychopath who waged unconditional war on civilians, burned private homes, raped women, both black and white, destroyed millions in private property from Athens, Alabama to Randolph, Tennessee, to Jackson and Meridian, Mississippi, to Atlanta, Georgia, to Columbia, South Carolina, be called a hero and a man of the character and moral fiber of Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, be portrayed as a traitor. How many people know that the Smithsonian Magazine itself declared Sherman's March to the Sea to have been the fourth worst ecological disaster in the history of the North American continent? Stonewall was not a man who lacked the courage to ignore or violate what he saw as an unconstitutional law. He taught blacks to read and write when it was against the law to do so in Lexington, Virginia. He continued to his death to send money back to Lexington so that those Sunday school classes could continue. There's so much that could be written about Thomas Jackson, but I believe his actual words present a much clearer picture of the man that was Stonewall than mine ever could. To that end, I offer some of his words for your consideration. To then Lieutenant Colonel J.E.B. Stuart, when they first met and Stuart was initially reporting for duty, the words of Stonewall, and I quote, "If the North triumphs, it is not alone the destruction of our property. It is the prelude to anarchy, infidelity, the ultimate loss of free and responsible government on this continent. It is the triumph of commerce, the triumph of the banks. We should meet the invader on the outer edge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides," unquote. Then there were the words of Stonewall to the father of a man under his command when asked why Jackson supported secession. And here is the quote. "As a Christian man, my first allegiance is to God, then to my state, the state of Virginia. And every other state has a primal claim to the fealty of her citizens and may justly control their allegiance. If Virginia adheres to the United States, I adhere. Her determination must control mine. This is my understanding of patriotism. And though I love the Union, I love Virginia more," unquote. Those are the words of Stonewall when he first addressed, what would become the Stonewall Brigade, which was the 2nd, 4th, 5th, 27th, and 33rd Virginia Infantry Regiments in the Rockbridge Artillery Battery. And I quote, "Men of the Valley, citizen soldiers, I am here at the order of Robert E. Lee, commanding all Virginia forces. On April 15th, the year of our Lord, 1861, Simon Cameron, Secretary of War of the United States, sent a telegram to our governor, John Letcher, directing him to raise 3 regiments of infantry to be sent to assist in suppressing the Southern Confederacy. Governor Letcher's answer is well known to you, but perhaps not his words. His wire to Washington stated, you have chosen to inaugurate civil war, and having done so, we will meet you in a spirit as determined as the Lincoln administration has exhibited toward the South, unquote. 2 days later, the Virginia legislature voted for secession. Just as we would not send any of our soldiers to march into other states and tyrannize other people, so we will never allow the army of others to march into our state and tyrannize our people. Like many of you, indeed most of you, I've always been a Union man. It is not with any joy or with light heart that many of us have welcomed secession. Had our neighbors to the north practiced a less bellicose form of persuasion, perhaps this day might not have come. But that day has been thrust upon us like it was thrust upon our ancestors. The Lincoln administration required us to raise 3 regiments. Tell him we have done so. Unquote. Then, when explaining duty to a member of his command staff in late 1862, none other than one Sandy Pendleton, Thomas Jackson said this: "Mr. Pendleton, if the Republicans lose their little war, they're voted out in the next election, and they return to their homes in New York or Massachusetts or Illinois, fat with their war profits. If we lose, we lose our country. We lose our independence. We lose it all." Unquote. Then to General John Bell Hood, right before the Battle of Chancellorsville, when Jackson was asked by General Hood if Stonewall thought he would survive the war, little knowing what would happen just a few hours later, Thomas Jackson said the following: "No, General Hood, nor would I want to if we do not prevail." Unquote. Lastly, no commentary on Stonewall would be complete without his last words uttered on his deathbed to his surgeon, Hunter McGuire. He said, and I quote, "Let us cross over the river and rest beneath the shade of the trees," unquote. If the words of Stonewall were taught to our young people, along with his dedication to his home state, his unshakable devotion to Christianity, and his impeccable character, perhaps a truer understanding of why a war was fought to destroy the tenets of the Declaration of Independence, and why the victors have gone to such lengths to pervert the truth, would be much better understood. Happy birthday, Stonewall. Would that we had more like you today. Unfortunately, we do not. So, in today's world, the statues of Stonewall Jackson have been taken down at his beloved Virginia Military Institute. His name has been removed from so many places at the Institute and other places as well. So, in doing so, America has chosen to destroy the memory of one of the finest Christian men who ever walked this country, anywhere in this country. And they have chosen instead to put up monuments to cultural Marxists. Does that not tell us where this country is headed in very quick fashion? Is that a decision has been made by this government? And I think most people do not understand this near as well as they ought to. What we're looking at with the war against the Confederate battle flag, the war against the images of Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and others, what we're doing here is a war against the Christian faith. The St. Andrew's Cross, St. Andrew, Simon Peter's older brother. We've got to get rid of any flag that might depict anything that had to do with the Christian faith. We've got to get rid. I mean, you know, come on, people. They took God out of school back when I was in high school. Do you not see what is happening here? This is the triumph of hedonism. This is the triumph of Satan over the principles that people like Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and others stood for. Are we not aware? Do we not care what is happening? Well, there's one thing we know for sure. No one's going to stand up and protest as long as they got football to watch or any other entertainment that will keep them busy. We are seeing not only a war on so many, the war on what is absolutely critical to America. There was another thing most people don't stop and think about, was the military genius that was Thomas Jonathan Jackson. Now, he was an instructor for almost 10 years at Virginia Military Institute, taught primarily artillery tactics. He was a hero of the Mexican-American War, showed his brilliance there as a first and a second lieutenant, his absolute military brilliance. Now, he was not well thought of at VMI. His students referred to him as Tom Fool Jackson. But that was not his calling. Obviously, if you're a student of history, the tactics of Stonewall Jackson, the things that he was able to accomplish during that war, are just absolutely unreal. They are studied today by other countries in their military. His tactics in 1862 in the Shenandoah Valley are just absolutely uncanny. Here is a man who never lost a battle. Not once. And he moved up and down the Shenandoah Valley with a force of maybe anywhere from 16 to 30,000 troops, depending on which time. And he was facing a huge number of Union troops under Shields, Banks, and Fremont. And he kicked their butts all over the place. And they had him outnumbered, as I said before, maybe 4-1. There were instances of Union troops fleeing a town after hearing that Jackson was in the vicinity. Jackson is very much revered when it comes to military strategy. But one of the things that he always did in all of his reports that he wrote, he never took credit. He always gave credit to God. Never once said, "Oh, look what I accomplished." By 1863, especially after the campaigns, Second Manassas and others, he was heralded as a hero in so many places. Even outside of the United States, he was a hero. People could not believe the ability, what he was doing, what he had done, all of the things that he was able to accomplish. And yes, he was quite eccentric. He sometimes would come up with some of the most unusual comments. But he always gave credit to others. Yes, some of his subordinates didn't like him. He had a fantastic battle with A.P. Hill, Ambrose Powell Hill. I mean, he had preferred charges against him. He preferred charges against another subordinate, Garnett. and then did whatever it took. That's why his unit was referred to as Jackson's Foot Cavalry, because the amount of land he was able to traverse with that army was just absolutely incredible. And in his military genius, he was able to come up with so many other, you know, things that he did and was able to accomplish, you know. And the great climax had to be Chancellorsville. Lee in his army was facing a far superior numerical numbers commanded by Fighting Joe Hooker. Now, just to throw in a little aside here, Jackson was probably one of the most religious men who ever donned a uniform. But Joe Hooker gave to his posterity the name that is commonly used for prostitutes, because he had wagons of the women of the evening following his army. So we can draw a contrast there. Jackson's exploits, and back in 1988, this was something I wanted to do, so I took better part of 3 weeks, and I traveled in the Shenandoah Valley from battlefield to battlefield, retracing Jackson's steps in his battles. Then went across the state, went to Fredericksburg, looked at where his lines were at Fredericksburg, in the Battle of Fredericksburg in December of 1862, and then went to Chancellorsville and walked that battlefield. And, you know, I read so many false things, you know. Jackson was shot by a sharpshooter of his own men, like they didn't like him. But Jackson led this, he caved in the right of Joseph Hooker's army, and had he had enough daylight hours, he might have ended the Civil War right there by driving Joe Hooker into the Rappahannock River. It was well on its way. He ran out of daylight. But then he went back and was reconnoitering, making plans for the next day's battle. And unfortunately, he and A.P. Hill and several of their staff rode back into the lines of the 18th North Carolina. The 18th North Carolina opened fire because they had been hearing firing coming from the other area. Remember, it's after 9 o'clock at night. It was darkness. And they opened fire, and Stonewall Jackson, unfortunately, was hit 3 times. There was certainly nothing intentional about it. I went back into the records of the 18th North Carolina, and I found where they had stated, had been said, now there's no proof of this, but at least in one letter, allegedly, the man who shot Stonewall actually committed suicide. Thought he did. But anyway, get in, Freebird.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Out alive, best be on our way. Our tattered gray was torn between if we should run or fight, but our southern pride swelled up inside as we dug in for the night. Then I heard a rider calling, they're coming down the road, and the fiery flash of 20-pounders started to explode. Tried our best to stop them, our efforts were in vain. In the distance you could hear the sound of Dixie's last refrain.
Ah, they're burning Georgia down. What a wonderful rendition by Balsam Range. Those good old fellas from Canton, North Carolina, so near my home spot. At least where I was born and reared to be a rebel Confederate. But, folks, a visit to the Virginia Historical Society would find a collection of the books of Stonewall Jackson. And in that case, there were 6 shelves filled with all of the various books that Thomas Jonathan Jackson collected. I think you can tell so much about an individual by the books they read. At least I have found that to be a great barometer. But in the center of his bookcase, there were 3 works kind of isolated, sitting side by side. And the one in the middle is a book by John Gibbons. and the title was The Artillerist Manual. To the left of that book was Jackson's Bible. On the other side is a book by Philip Bennett Powers, and the title is I Will, Being the Determination of a Man of God. What a title. These three books, positioned as they were in my mind, epitomize the actual life of General Jackson, a man of arms surrounded by his tenets of faith. From 1861 to 1863, his fame flashed across his own Southern Confederacy. It soared over the land of his enemies and traveled even beyond the borders of our country. Jackson, more than anyone else, personified the compelling and virtuous battle that the South found themselves embroiled in. And subsequent generations have labeled it the Lost Cause. Thousands of Southerners, and no small number of Northerners as well, would say for generations that had Jackson lived, the Confederate quest for independence might have come much closer to fruition. Robert E. Lee thought so. A lot of other military strategists have said the same thing, because the absence of Jackson at Gettysburg, for those of you who might be military strategists or historians, the absence of his aggressive and his planning nature. I mean, you want to talk about a man who was meticulous in his pursuits. The only general or leader that I have ever heard of in my entire life who had on his staff a cartographer, a map maker. And if you understand how that played into what Thomas Jonathan Jackson was able to accomplish, especially at the Battle of Chancellorsville, he took his cartographer and made a map of the roads he intended to travel to outflank Hooker and hit him on his right flank in such a brilliant maneuver. But unfortunately, death removed Jackson from the scene at the very height of a military fame enjoyed by no other Civil War figure, not useless Grant, not the devil that was Sherman. His passing at a high point in Confederate success was the greatest personal loss suffered by the South. Jackson became the South's first icon, the ultimate offering for the Southern cause. Death at the hour of his most spectacular victory led to more poems of praise than did any other single event of the entire war. Jackson was the only dead man to be pictured on Confederate currency, and his likeness graced the highest denomination, a $500 bill. I happen to have one of those. His fame went beyond the borders of the wartime South. The Confederacy christened two naval vessels as the Stonewall. The first, which was a mere pilot boat, fell into Union hands in February of 1863 and was converted into a tender for the remainder of the war. Although the Federals employed the boat for a different mission, out of courtesy, they retained the name Stonewall. And there is an actual report in the history of the War of the Rebellion at the National Archives that shows a captured Union Army sergeant who went to Stonewall's horse, Little Sorrel, and he was caught pulling hairs out of the tail of the horse and putting them into his pocket. When he was asked why he was doing so, he said, "Do you have any idea how much these would bring on the market, even in the North?" Well, the exciting hopes of the South in 1861 and the smashing victories, Old Jack, as his soldiers called him, achieved in 1862, lost much of their brilliance with his death in the war's third spring. Yet his devotion to God, duty, and country remain treasured legacies of the American people, at least those of us in the South, just as they are inspirations, or should be, to people everywhere. Lord Frederick Roberts, who was commander-in-chief of the British armies in the early 20th century, said, and I quote, "In my opinion, Stonewall Jackson was one of the greatest natural military geniuses this world has ever known. I will go even further than that. As a campaigner in the field, he never had a superior. In some respects, I doubt whether he ever had an equal." 50 years later, General Douglas MacArthur characterized Jackson, and I quote, "as one of the most remarkable soldiers we have ever known. His mastery of two of the greatest elements for victory in war, surprise and envelopment, never has been surpassed. His magnetic personal leadership, which so dominated and inspired his men, constituted only one of his many attributes of greatness." Unquote. And I would have to say that I think I would be remiss in not saying this, that Stonewall Jackson said repeatedly over and over that the name Stonewall did not belong to him. It belonged to his men. It wasn't his. And he was. He was a military genius on Henry House Hill, at First Manassas, where he received his sobriquet Stonewall from General B of South Carolina just a few moments before B was killed. Jackson recognized two things that no one else had recognized. Number one is he saw the effect of rifled muskets over smoothbore muskets. The accuracy made one heck of a difference. Stonewall adjusted his men accordingly. He saw the effect that what was called grape shot. Prior to the Civil War, there had been the cannonballs were just cannonballs. But grape shot was cannonballs that exploded. So it was like a huge shotgun. He saw the difference. But to get back to just not only his military brilliance, but to get back to the people and what they thought of Jackson, Dr. Moses D. Hoag, a pillar of Presbyterianism at the time of the Civil War, saw Jackson in quite a different light. And he said, and I quote, "To attempt to portray the life of Jackson while leaving out his Christianity element would be like undertaking to describe Switzerland without making mention of the Alps." English clergyman S. Parks Cadman gave a more detailed explanation of the impact that Christianity made on Jackson's character and I quote, his alliance with eternal realities, his foretaste of the powers of the world to come, his deep and genuine piety, his adherence to the Bible, the church, and to the Lord's day, his keeping of his own conscience before God and men are the outstanding traits of a spiritual prince who is greater than anything he did and whose deeds took rise in his being, unquote. Jackson's Christian faith permeated every action of his adult life. He began each and every task by offering a blessing, and he completed every duty by returning thanks to God. He was seen on many occasions during battle in a hail of bullets, raising his right hand in prayer. To say merely that he kept the Sabbath holy would be an understatement. In the pre-war years, he would not read a newspaper or discuss any object or subject on Sunday. Jackson even refused to write letters on the Lord's Day. Of the 88 letters excerpted in his biography, which was composed by his nephew, none bears a Sunday date. None whatsoever. Divine love and personal self-discipline combined in Jackson to create absolute fearlessness. Could look forward to the next world because he so constantly was aware of its existence. And he himself said that he was a Old Testament warrior fighting a New Testament war. Military genius and religious devotion are not common traits among mankind. When one individual possesses both seemingly incompatible qualities, he stands alone on a very high pedestal that is extraordinary to some and enigmatic to others. Stonewall may be difficult to understand because he was a fascinating mixture of contradictory points, complexity and simplicity, harshness and softness, restlessness and repose, eccentricity and excellence, ambition and humility, faithfulness and righteousness. His comments may have been perceptive, but they were sometimes completely unorthodox. In battle, he was often heard to say, good, good, or very commendable, whether he was praising Confederate gains or reacting to bad news. Once when asked why he had appointed a personally unpopular officer to an important position, Jackson answered, and I quote, as he has no friends, he will be impartial in his reports, unquote. Oh, well, on another occasion, he and an aide were riding in the Shenandoah Valley in 1862. Jackson had been silent for a long period. The two men stopped to water their horses. Jackson was remounting when he turned to his companion and said, and I quote, did you ever think, sir, what an opportunity a battlefield affords to liars? Unquote. Strange utterances and equally strange actions gave rise to the host of exaggerations, fabrications, and outright untruths about Stonewall. Yes, he had many strange mannerisms, but some were honest attempts to combat ailments both real and imagined. He believed in physical fitness decades before either became an art. Many of his behavior patterns were unusual. Some of them even seemed unprecedented. However, a staff officer, wrote shortly after the war, and I quote, it has been the fashion to dwell on his peculiarities till one who does not know something of him is apt to get a view of him almost grotesque, which does him a severe injustice, unquote. A minister and a close friend of Jackson added, in his ordinary course with men, there was nothing about him to attract special observation or to call for remark of any kind. His manners, it is true, were not polished, but neither were they constrained. He was just a simple gentleman. Unquote. Folks, I don't know what your thoughts are when you think about Stonewall. I'm not really sure. Oh, come on, Roger, do it.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Used to be Andy and Barney Fife. Now a tired stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane.
Oh, Merle.
Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Oh,
absolutely.
Don't
point.
Believe a word of the evening news.
America, where have you gone?
Down the drain. Trailer parks with the building cold. Cul-de-sacs in the country.
Rest in peace, Merle. What a great voice. What a great man. But like many men of the South in 1860, Stonewall Jackson was convinced that Northerners, those damn Yankees, had violated principles not only of our founding, but of Christianity, by attempting to create a society that lacked order as well as cohesiveness. The North seemed to be striving to alter the basic American structures. Such activity flew in the face of God's preordained notion of what America should be. If the South did not resist, Jackson thought, it would stand in failure of God's will and possibly become subservient to complete Northern atheistic domination. Thus, in the words of a recent writer, much of the Confederate ideology to which Jackson subscribed, and I quote, transformed God himself into a Yankee nationalist and made war for political independence into a crusade, unquote. So, folks, we're almost out of time here, and you know, I could go on and on about Stonewall Jackson. I appreciate you putting up with me for this time frame. But again, the ideology here, let's take a look at it. In America today, are we disciples of Stonewall Jackson or disciples of Karl Marx? Look at our government and answer that question for me, please. And second, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you folks that we have here at Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcastingnetwork.org, we have one of the last bastions of free speech in this country, one of the only places you could probably talk about Stonewall Jackson for an hour without being censored. So if you have it within your power, please support this platform. It's very important. But number one, do not forget for a moment, are we the America of Stonewall Jackson? Or are we the America of Abraham Lincoln? We tear down the statues of a godly man and honor a man who never darkened the steps or the door of a church anywhere that is recorded, and who was so mixed in his ways. Look at his speeches in 1848. Look at the collected works of Abraham Lincoln. He was working on shipping all of the blacks out of this country right up to his death. That's documented. He had no love for the black man. By the way, on the 4th of next month, this program will go to 2 hours. I am really looking forward to that. Thank you, people. God bless everyone. Thanks, RBN. Appreciate the platform. You folks have a wonderful weekend. God bless.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.